So we're up to page Membeis. Page Membeis are middle of the different types of kapara. Yes, they learned the different types of forms of atonement. For a bittul mitzvah sase, all a person needs to do is do tshuva, and we learned yesterday, lezaz misham, immediately he receives atonement. If he violates a loy sase, he has to do tshuva, and he has to wait until Yom Kippurim. If he violates something with his chiv kares, so he has to do teshuva, and Yom Kippurim is not enough. He has to Yom Kippurim with teshuva toilin, which means that it suspends punishment, but he needs also Rachmana Litzlan Yisurim, affliction, very frightening thing. And then we're up to Bameh Devarim Amurim. It's the second paragraph of page Mem Beis. The same as today's daf. Today's daf is Mem Beis. Elu Trefis. Okay, anyone here learning Daf Yomi? And Michal? Elu Trefis started? You start Elu Trefis today? You start Elu Trefis today? Good luck. Good luck to you all. Just make sure you have Sicha Schulen, you'll be okay. So yeah, we're daf. The Membeis, same thing as the daf. So now we come to the next Rachmana Litzlan, the next form of aver, which requires a lot. Bamed Vadim Amurim Shlo Chilas Hashem. Chilul Hashem is the worst of the worst. Be'esha Avar. When a person did an avera, if he was mechalal the Shem Hashem, that's very, very big. Kemosh Osa Aver Betzina. The person needs to do an avera. He should at least do it Betzina, not Befar Hesya. Avol Mechalal Es Hashem Befar Hesya. Avol Pish Osa Teshuva. Even if he did teshuva, v'yigir Yom Kippurim, and even Yom Kippur came, v'oidenu oimed b'teshuvasai, and he is in a state of teshuva, he did teshuva, uba olav yisurin, and Rachmana Litzlan, he also suffered in this world. So you would think, listen, the guy already got it all. The guy already got it all. He did teshuva, Yom Kippur has passed, and he suffered in this world. It's very frightening what it says here. Ein kol elin moy alin l'marek avoynoy l'ischaper kapar gemura. Even all of these things that he has done, that has happened, teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Yisurim, it's not enough. He needs to die. Rachman Litzlan, the kapar only comes ad sheyamus ve'ela teshuvah v'yom ha-kippurim v'yisurim shalosh toilin. What these were the three things that he has done, teshuvah, Yom Kippur, and Yisurin, it's toiling. It prevents, it suspends punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring upon him more suffering, but full atonement, that he should be forgiven, that will be delayed until the time of death. Umisa, mimorekes, umichaperes, misa, it cleanses, and brings atonement, shenemar, v'nigla v'oznoi, Hashem tzivakos, it was revealed in my ears, and the pasuk there goes on to say, and we have the whole pasuk in front of us.
Everyone is going
to
die, so everyone should be forgiven when they die. Is he dying early?
Well, the person, no, you can't say that. You cannot say that. A person, we do not. A person, sometimes a principle called years. I once heard this. It was a very interesting thing. I mentioned this maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I'll tell it to you again. It's very quickly. There was a family who suffered a very great tragedy. And when one of the people in the family died, and when the person got sick, the family, they mobilized. They got together and they went to town. They gave enormous amounts of tzedakah. They davened. They were makabel upon themselves, crazy things, lashon hara, you know, everything that you could possibly do al derech hateva, they did. They really, really applied themselves to do tshuva for the zuchus of this member of their family. And al derech hateva, it could have been the person would not die. If the doctors played, you know, did everything they're supposed to do, and they went to the best doctors and the best hospitals, v'chulu, and after everything was done, the person died. So they went to a very big god. They went to Avdon Segel. Avdon Segel is a very holy person, and the family has a connection to him, and they asked him, you know, my high, you know, what does Hashem want from us? We have our this person, our family, it was a very great tragedy. Hashem obviously had a complaint against us, so we really, really did everything we can possibly do. How come Hashem, and al derech hateva, there are other people that are in the same situation and they pull through, at least to a degree. You know, there are different levels. They pull through. How come we did not merit some success even al derech hateva? It could have happened even naturally. So he said to them, yeah, obviously you're asking a very good question which there is no answer. But he told them something which gave them a little bit of satisfaction, I think, is that in Shemayim there are two types of situations. There are times when in Shemayim there is a tevia, there is a complaint against an individual, against the family, against the community, and there's a gzera. And because this individual, family, community is not living up to what Hashem expects from them, Hashem is goyzer a gzera ra, a harsh decree. And then there are times when, that's what he said, it's just not meant to be. A person came into this world, was meant to be here for X number of years. He's meant to be here for 50 years, for 60 years, 70 years, 30 years. This is what was meant to be from day one. Why? No one can tell you. Don't try to go look to the world of Kabbalah to understand these things. This is what was meant to be. If a person, Rahman al-Islam, is a gezerah, it's possible to be mevatel the gezerah. And if you did everything you could really possibly do, which is humanly possible, you have to remember, then there's no question you have to have emunah that Hashem would be receptive to your teshuva and the gzer would have been bottled and the person would have pulled through like other people do. But if you really did everything you can possibly do and this nothing happened, you have to accept with emunah that it was not meant to be for this person to be in this world more than X number of years. And he did his purpose in this world. He was meant to be here. He had a phenomenally successful life in what he accomplished. And this is what was meant to be. And don't feel bad. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. Just pick yourself up and go forward in life. So who is to say? But it's an interesting idea. He's saying there are times when there's a gezerah and there are times when there are shanim. You're right. Every person is going to eventually die, and you're right. Every person with his death will come atonement, provided that before he dies he does teshuva. And even this, it's not an excuse since I might as well do an avera because I might as well have fun in this world. Because if I have fun in this world, anyway, I'm going to get kapara. So there's a rule that if a person says, I'm going to do an Avera and Mochar, tomorrow I'm going to do Tshuva, he will not be given the opportunity to do Tshuva if you live with that attitude. Furthermore, if a person is not forgiven, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish him, it is still a different relationship he has with Hashem. A person who was never Mechalel, the Shem Hashem Bifar Hesia, so he is on a different relationship. Maybe he will merit extra special blessing in this world. A person who was mechalel Hashem's name, but did teshuva, and has passed through multiple day times Yom HaKippurim, and suffered Yesurim, had all of the three, okay, very good. Hashem is not going to punish you anymore. But it does not equate your relationship with Hashem equal to a person who is never mechalel Shem Shemayim Lifer Hesia. It's not the same relationship. So it's true. Persons, everyone's going to die. And when they die, they'll get kapara. But how are you going to live? Whatever you have left in this world, what kind of relationship do you want with Hashem? You want a relationship where Hashem is just not going to punish me? Or do you want a relationship where you're close to Hashem? It's a major difference. Okay, so this was in the passage. The passage called Yeshaya goes on to explain there that after a person dies, he's going to get a full atonement. Okay, vayte, izel teshuv gibor zeh shebol yod dvar avera shavaba. What is called a tshuva gemura? A person that an avera, it's way many times, you have to prove yourself. The way you can prove you've done teshuva is if you have an opportunity to do the same exact, Amber Alert, the same exact avera, and you withhold. And you have the opportunity to do it. You desist, you do not do, because you have done teshuva. V'lo meyira, v'lo mikil shenuach, not because you're afraid of getting caught, not because you're weak, The reason why you do not do the Avera a second time is for one reason only, because you have done Teshuvah. You accepted upon yourself never to repeat the Avera again. Ketzat. Hare Sheba al Isha ba Avera. A person was nichshal with an eshes ish. And now the person has an opportunity to live with her a second time. And he has the same love for her that he had originally. He's the same strength. He's the same healthy person. There's nothing that is holding him back from doing that very second time. And the only reason why he chooses not to be nichshal with this woman now is because the chavash es yitzroi. He conquers his yetzahara v'li ovar. Zehu ba'al teshuva gemura v'hu sheshloim amal bi'omar u'zachor es b're'echa b'mei b'churoi secha. A person should remember Hashem, your creator, in the days of your youth. It's no kunz not to do an avera when you're old man, 100 years old, lying in a hospital room and in a hospice. It's no big deal. Okay, I'm a tzaddik. Look, I'm not being nichshal now with an eshes ish. I'm not. Who's going to want you in the state, right? Who's going to look at you? Okay, it's no kunz when a person is deathly ill not to do an avera. The kunz is when you're in your youth, vigor, in that massive of life, not to do an avera. That's where it all counts. V'im lo yishav el beis ziknusoy, v'eish shiev shalasay esma shahoy oyseh b'bacharusoy, v'dei tashus koyechoy, because you're very weak. Afal pi she'ena teshuvu mu'ula mo'eles hiloy, it's better than nothing. There's no excuse not to say the vidui at the time of death. By elis hiloy v'hu ba'al teshuva, the person is a ba'al teshuva. V'afilu aval kol yomav ba'alaseh b'sham mitzasoy osa teshuva, even if a person's entire life did averos, and at the very end of his life, the shuva umeis b'shuva kol avaynosav nimcholam lo, it counts for something. Shenemar ad asher lo techshach hashemesh v'ha'ar, it says in the pasuk, the person before the lights go out, and this is a metaphor for the person dying. V'hu yom amisa b'chlal shem zohar es b'yroi koydem amisa nislach lo, that implies that a person assumes before he dies, he is forgiven. It's very kedai to look at, to review every so often, I'm not joking now, the vidui of a shchiv meira. Okay, at the time of death, and a person goes into a hospital, they have their palliative care, they have their vidui, they have their mamish, a siddur, things that a person should say at the time of death. When he sees that death is coming upon him, then there's a special nusach of what a person says to express sorrow for his sins at the time of death. So it's very kedai when a person, Baruch Hashem, is healthy and young and fresh and vibrant, he should familiarize himself with the vidui. The vidui called the vidui shel shechiv meira, the vidui of a dying man. Because if a person, when he's young and fresh, vibrant, is familiar with what it says there, it's a different life. He prepares himself. That's what no one lives forever. Okay? 120, just a matter of time until we're all 120 years old or more. Who says 120? Maybe not mukhach, only 120. You can live to 200, 300 years old. But Misa is kachi darka shalaylam, and it's very kedai. A person should familiarize himself, a dress rehearsal of what he's going to do at the time when that time comes. It's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to spook out about. And part of that is to read, to learn the nusach of the vidui shel shchiv meira. And believe me, it's a different life. It takes a couple of minutes to study, a couple of minutes to look over, and it's no big deal. And it puts a person in a different frame of mind for the very end. It's no big deal. A person, Rachman said, you know, you don't have to go out. A person, you go to a hospital. A person, every so often, unfortunately, we have to go visit people in the hospital, and they have it there. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, they're in a matzav where you know it's not going to be. They're not going to be living for much longer. And they have in the room the vidui, and either the person says it, or sometimes the person already, Rachman, sometimes they're not in a state where he can say it. So people say it for him. Okay, you say now when you're saying it for him, people will say, what does that accomplish? Person comes in and says Tehillim, so they're saying for him the vidui shel shchiv meira. He's not saying it, you're saying it. So why does that any benefit? Maybe you're right. maybe there is no benefit for him, but it's a very good opportunity for the person to take advantage and learn what it says and familiarize himself with what it says for himself when his own time will come. Achar Me'aveshem. Achar Me'aveshem means at least 120. Doesn't say Me'aveshem. Achar Me'aveshem. Person lives at least 120 years old. And, you know, it's very, very interesting to see what it says. Some of these Sidurim, they have multiple versions of the Vidui Shel Shchiv Merah. From all different Gedolei Yisrael, from previous generations, different groups, different groups of people, different, you know, Hasidim, Lubavitcher Nusach, and a Satman Nusach, and a Riazal Nusach, and a this Nusach, that Nusach. They're all very different. They're all very interesting, and it's something to learn from each one. And it's Kedai. I'm telling you, it's Kedai. Let's go further. Next halacha. I see everyone is in a very good mood now. I see everyone smiling from ear to ear. I put you in a very good mood. So let's go further. Uma hi ha teshuva sheyazov achoite. What is teshuva? So there he goes into more detail. Sheyazov achoite yasachetoi. A person shall abandon his sin. V'yaser mach shavtoi haram liboy. A person shall distance his evil thoughts from his heart. V'yigmar b'libo shlo yaseoid. Shenatu averus anymore. Shnemar yazov rasha darkoi. V'heitoye umisnachem umischoreit al harishonai. A person has to, they have many, many words. Toihe. What does it mean, toihe? Toihe means to be in a sin of bewilderment. Okay, it means I'm in shock. Oh, I really did that avera? Are you kidding? That's a very, very interesting expression that you only see in the Sefer Hasidim. Okay, everyone likes to talk about all the sermon doing tshuva, but this expression is definitely unique. A person should be in shock. Wow, I can't believe I did that avera. Umisnachem, regret. Umischoreit. What's the difference between umisnachem and umischoreit? Misnachem means a change in attitude. Mischoreit doesn't necessarily mean a change of attitude, it just means regret. Misnachem means I have a different perspective on life. And memela, I would never do this avera. Umischoreit may mean my attitude in life is the same, it's just that this particular thing that I have done, I regret that I've done this. Shenemar, I think it's greater. I think it's a different. Mistachem doesn't mean I regret. It means I have a different attitude. It's more inclusive. I'm in a different place now, and in the world that I'm in now, this is just not. It's not nogea. It's petty. I wouldn't do something like this. Mistachem means I have a different frame of mind. Mischoreit means I'm the same guy I was yesterday. It's just that I realize, cut out the nonsense. Yesterday I was lazy. I didn't take seriously my purpose in this world. I regret that. That's not the way I should have behaved. I should behave better. Misnachei means I'm a different person. I'm a different person. Yesterday I was this type of person. Today I'm in a different place. I'm a whole different attitude towards life. And memela, what?
Does it work the same way with mitzvahs? I'm in a different place now.
Right. Absolutely. It's a frame of mind.
Right.
Mischoreit is not a frame of mind. It's just, I'm the same guy, the same frame of mind. I'm a chazek myself. I regret what I have done. The first expression, toye, is even greater. Toye means I'm in shock. I'm such a different person. I can't even believe I did such a thing. Mistache means I can understand. I can understand that I was there. And when I was there, I did that. Now I'm here. Here, you don't do this. Toihe has a connotation. Are you going to tell me that once upon a time I was there? I don't even believe that. I'm shocked. Okay, these different types of degrees. Different types
though,
of degrees, yeah? Yeah. He has a change of attitude, right? He has a change.
While he didn't like Yaakov, now he's actually contemplating murder.
That's right. A whole different change of attitude. So this is what he says over here is the truth.
By the way, the in this a Torah Nidara.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, so Tohei, it's a very powerful expression. You have to analyze how it applies that expression. Okay, so this is a person that has to have all these different madregos. The Nichamti. He quotes this one passage of Nichamti. V'yomer ani. Made a lie, I say about myself, Hayodea call Talumais, Hashem, who knows all of the secrets, Shaloi Ashuv, Bezeh, Hachet, Le'olam, I will never do this Avera again, Shenemar, Veloi, Noimar, Oide, Lokenu, Lemase, Yodena. We will never worship idols, we will never worship objects that we have crafted with our own hands. We have to be able to say that we will never do this again. We will never say v'loy noimar oid. We will never repeat the avera. What is the avera in this specific pasuk? To declare that our ma'aseh yadenu are our God.
Okay. The way some of the mepharshim explain these different terminology is that while you may be sorry that you did it, what have you done in addition to that? Again.
You have to take
you take preventive safeguards. Measures so that preventive it doesn't measures. Happen again. It's not, you know, you can feel bad, but what did you do? So right. We shouldn't.
Let's go further. Part of the way of doing the tshuva is orders always to daven. And to do tzedakah, it hurts to give tzedakah. Okay? It comes out of your pocket. By doing something which causes you, which hurts, that shows you're very sincere. You have to, like Ramayevsky just said, you have to distance yourself from the averos, take preventive measures, erect safeguards. Now this is a really, really extreme now. I am a different person. To go to such an extreme, to change your name, to disassociate with your past. You change your deeds. Kulam l'toiva lahadrich atzmoi b'derech yishara. V'goylem imukoymoi, go into exile. Leave your hometown. Shegolus v'chaperes avoin, golus brings kapara, b'bnei shegaremetz lo lahikona, v'liyois anav v'shalruch, it causes a person humility. Self-imposed exile. The Sefer Chassidim is saying here extreme things. What a person should do to do teshuvah, change your name. Shinui Hashem. Change your name. Number two, go into exile. And that's in addition to giving tzedakah and to continuously davening to Hashem for atonement. That we do know that there were certain tzaddikim that put upon themselves self-imposed exile. We really do not know why. Who did this? Who's one of the famous people who did this? The Gra. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon. One day, he says to his family, "See you later, guys. I'm out of here. Where are you going? Nowhere. I'm going nowhere fast." And he just went traveling. He went traveling, self-imposed exile. Why he did this, no one knows. But going in yourself, when you go into Gulf, you go and you just start traveling, you go from place to place, it's a humiliating experience. What is the humiliating experience? You come into a new town. What's your name? Who are you? People, they look at you as a beggar. They look down upon you. They insult you. You have to beg for food, beg for a place to sleep. It's a very humiliating experience. And there were Gedolei Yisrael, the previous generations, that did this. We do not know why they did this. Maybe they were doing this to do teshuva for some aver they felt that they had. Who knows what reason, but this is something which, if you study history, you come across Jewish history and the conduct of different holy people. It was something that was popular to put upon yourself a self-imposed exile, to humble yourself and go through the humiliation that beggars and simple people don't have what to eat and to live on, experience in life.
That would be different, like putting in seclusion. They were
I don't know, seclusion. You don't have to go into seclusion.
In the forest, it would go.
What?
Like in
a
forest for 2 weeks for a
reason. Yeah, although that's chassidus. That's not that, though. That's something different. You're talking about hisbaididus. That's a musar. Yisrael Salanta was very. You go out into the forest and in a place where no one sees you, and you talk to Hashem. You talk to Hashem. There, that's not Golus. Golus is people. People are torture. I was doing a project recently for someone. I'm still doing this project, and there were different. We were printing a kuntras, printing a very small kuntras, so I can do it myself. We can do it ourselves, or a person hired. Whatever he hired me. It's a very small project. Or I can just collect the material, and we can pay someone to do it, a printer to do it. So it's not such a big deal to do it yourself. So I told him I want to do. I'd rather do it myself. Why? So I said, number one, I'll do it the way I want, and number two, if I'll do it with the printer, I have to deal with people, and that's torture. And he started laughing so hard. Because he knows exactly what I mean. He knows, rather exert yourself and spend an extra few hours doing it yourself. I don't have to come on to some, forget about the end result. Come on to someone else and nudge them. When is it going to be ready? Can you do this? You made this mistake. Can you change this? And go through the motions and no, I can. And I'm not interested in fighting with people. I rather spend the time and the effort, do it myself, to avoid dealing with other people. Golos, to answer your question, is other people. Hisboididus is Gan Eden. You're all alone. No one's telling you what to eat. No one's telling you what to do. No one's telling you, don't leave your dirty laundry here. Don't do this, don't do that. Hisboididus, go into the forest. You're all alone, just you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you talk to Hashem, you do tshuva, you do whatever you want to go do. Golos is not going into the forest. It's going traveling and going into a big shul and they think you're a piece of garbage. You know this guy, this is the Gra. He knows more than everyone in the whole world put together. And you come into, who are you? Don't sit here. This is someone's seat. You go sit in the corner over there. Get out of here. Move and suddenly go, they treat you like a piece of garbage. That's Golos. That's what the Gra did. Many other Gedolei Yisrael did the same thing. They wanted to feel humility. They wanted to feel what it means to be stepped upon like the common man does.
Was he famous at the time?
What? Yeah, he was.
Yes. They walked in town, they didn't know who he was.
No, they didn't.
They were not famous.
There was no, they didn't have Gedolei pictures. We don't live. We cannot even fathom. It is so far removed, especially the last 15 years. We cannot even relate to our own lives 25 years ago. Before the internet came on the scene, before email, internet, texting, I don't think the average person in this room can relate to their own lives only 25 years ago. It was such a simple world. There was no internet. There was no email. There was no texting. No one had a cell phone. You want to make a telephone call? You got to go. A hard wire. There's a phone that's attached to the wall with a string, with a cord. It was such a beautiful life. It was so simple. It was so normal. Now, I could be sitting here and things are coming. I don't even know what's going on over here. Getting a message from the plumber, leave me alone here. Excuse me. Leave me alone. What has become of us? It's amazing. It's an amazing, crazy world.
When
yeah?
I was in the eighth grade, I went to visit a friend of mine. Family place lived in Crenheit, very well-to-do boy. We saw a television with a remote control.
The remote control
was a hose with a squeeze bubble.
Right.
And the air bubble changed the channels.
That's the way it was.
50 years ago. 50 years ago.
So can you imagine?
That was the first one.
Could you imagine what it was like without the life of the Grah, without indoor plumbing, without any community, any modern technology whatsoever, no electricity? We can't even begin to fathom what life was like.
Outside, you have to go to the outhouse.
Fathom. He left them. Where's the Derech Eretz? I don't know. I really don't know. It was a different. The people were in a different frame of mind. There were different expectations of what a husband is obligated to do for his wife. He supported her. I'm assuming he didn't violate any halacha. She was happy. She had a place to live, a place to live, had food and money, whatever it was. He told her, I have to go for business. I have to go out of town.
Maybe.
For some people, that's definitely true. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but that's what you said. Practically, we arranged with my son to meet. So he was a little bit late. We get like 20 messages. I'm here already. I'm there, and there. And he comes to us in the way of fun. He says, "How you did when you were young?"
Yeah.
So I told him, "In May, I wrote a letter to your mother that in August I will meet her there and there, and she was there."
And that was it.
No letter.
That's it.
So no late cancellations, no.
It was able to discard. Rashi also went into Gaul. Rashi was a little different though. Rashi also went into Gaulis. Rashi, when Mamashi went into Gaulis, Rashi went there, he went for a different reason, it seems. He went to Gaulis to test if his Perushim on Chumash would be accepted. The Kuntresim, he went into a shul, he was the first person to have Parsha sheets. The first Parsha sheet in the world was Rashi. He came into a shul. It was Parshas for Era, Parshas Bo. He put on the table a handwritten Parsha sheet, Perushim on Parshas Bo. And Rashi sat there in the corner of the room. He made believe he was a beggar. And he just sat there in the corner of the shul, and people came into the shul, and they saw on the table this piece of paper. They looked at it, and they read it, and they commented. And Rashi, that was the feedback. Some people, they criticized, what is this? Doesn't make any sense. Oh, this is very nice. Who did this come from? The hulu, Rashi took that feedback as a constructive criticism, and he used that feedback to improve his perushim on Chumash, which he called the Kuntres.
He didn't have an art school editor.
He didn't. He did not. Rashi suffered an enormous humiliation. When Rashi went around doing this, he was in disguise, and people treated him like garbage. The stories they have some of the stories of what they did to him, what they said to him, and how they treated him. But Rashi felt this was necessary in order for him to, for whatever reasons he had. We don't know all the reasons why Rashi did this, but many of the Gedolei Yisrael did experience this thing called self-imposed exile. And the Sefer Chassidim lived not much longer after Rashi. What did he live? 200 years after Rashi? 100 years after Rashi? I don't know exactly. It was not much longer after the life of Rashi. And he writes over here that if a person has done a severe Avera, he has to humiliate himself. And that requires that he bring upon himself a self-imposed exile. Today, this is unheard of. Even though I did read in the magazine, one of the Jewish magazines, maybe Mishpach magazine, there was a guy, he wanted to try this. So he went with no money, no credit cards, to try to basically to go from here to California. Maybe it was a Jew, was it not a Jew? To go to nothing. He just wanted to go and like just somehow hitchhike. To hitchhike and to survive. And it was like a social experiment.
The Kindness of Strangers.
That's what it's called?
I don't know.
It's a book?
I don't know, but I think I heard of this. He tried
Jewish or not Jewish? I don't remember, maybe both. It was different stories. The people who tried this today. Okay? A social experiment. I'm going to go now to California just the way I am. I have any money on me. I'm going to beg. I'm going to go to a soup kitchen. I'm going to go to try to hitch a ride. I have nothing but myself. And I say goodbye to my family. And let me see what happens and what stories will come along with this. And he made it. He made it. I don't know how long it took him. And the stories that he has to tell you are like none other. Stories of kindness, things that are bizarre, like you never in your life heard. Sakonis nefoshos, things that came along with his social experiment of picking himself up and attempting to hitchhike or to, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, to find his way to California, to go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and with not a penny to your name, and how he can survive. This is self-imposed exile. Okay? And you're basically coming on to the Ribbono Shel Olam to a degree. And it humbles you. It humbles you. It inspires you. And today, obviously, to do this today is for sure not for the faint of heart. But in ancient times, it could be it was a little bit easier. It could be in ancient times there was the ability to do so was a little bit easier because everyone was in the same boat. People did not live a life of luxury like today. It could be that a life of security. The first thing you'll walk into a place, they'll think you're a terrorist. I don't think they had that problem 300 years ago when the first thing they suspect, when they see a guy walking in the street, the security guard thinks he's a terrorist and they call the police, they put you in a paddy wagon. Okay, that wasn't the problem of 300 years ago. 300 years ago, everyone was pretty much in the same boat. So it was a different world. But there is something over here called, a principle called self-imposed exile. Okay, let's try to finish up one more paragraph and then we're up to Chafal. There's a great praise to a person, now this is also again not for the faint of heart, to confess. You have to confess in public, that this is not so simple. In fact, there is a Gemara, Ashrei Kisui Pesha. Chazal tell us that a person should never reveal his sins. And here the Sefer Chasidim is telling us a person must publicly confess his sin. And the answer is very obvious. It all depends on the sin. If you have sinned bitsina privately and you are a famous public figure, then you should not reveal your sin to the public. It is a very great chilul Hashem. But if a person has done an avera barabim, was machal shem shmaim barabim, everyone knows that you sinned. So then it is a kiddush Hashem for you to publicly confess what you have done and acknowledge your guilt. If you're not going to acknowledge your guilty barabim, then who are you fooling? So obviously this idea of confessing barabim all depends upon the situations. In fact, sometimes it is forbidden for a person to confess adarabah. It is a great rechel Hashem to confess your private sins. V'shavach gadol l'ashav sheisfadah barabim yodiyah chetah b'begal l'chetah b'shabeyna l'ben chaveroi l'acherim. Certainly when it comes to an avera beinoi l'ben chaveroi v'oymer lohem, if I have sinned to you, if I have stolen your money, I must confess and say, "Chotasi leploini, I have sinned to so and so, kach v'kach, asisulo, v'hinuni hayom shav misnachem." I have regret. V'chol ha'miskoyim v'inamodi, anyone that is arrogant and does not want to confess, el mechase peshav ein teshuvas egmura, his teshuv is incomplete. Shenemar mechase peshav lo yitzlach ulav, be successful moedav ez v'yuchem. However, a person that confesses and abandons his sin will be shown divine pity. If the sin is a private sin, it's not a sin, it's been you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no one knows about it, it was not done, it was not committed in public, then it is forbidden lefarsem, and adraba, the azus panim hi loy im gile la'adam. It is chutzpah. Keep your sins to yourself. It's no one's business. El shav lifnei haboreihu, do teshuva lifnei haborei baruchu, umefarish chatov lifonav, and confess to Hashem only. Umisvade lehen lifnei rabim stam chotasi. Don't go into detail. When it comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, just clap chotasi avisi pashati. Everyone has what to confess about. Don't specify your sin. Barabim, v'toyvi hilo shaloi niska le'avoynoi, shenemar, ashrei, fortunate, nisui fesha, kisui chato, a person who is nisui pesha, who is overcome by sin, kisui chato, the person who is overcome by sin, it is fortunate if he will conceal his averois. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow is very interesting stuff. It's really very, very interesting now. Okay, we have some really great stuff here coming up. Take a short break. I'll tell you something about the parasha. Talk about tefillin. Tefillin, for a few moments, this week's parasha's boy is the parasha of tefillin.